Hello, everyone. This is the Dot Matrix, and I'm Sean.
I'm Justin.
And just want to say hello to everyone out there. New month, February 2008. I'm pretty excited. Yeah.
Well, when you said 2008, I was going to correct you and say 2007.
I'm still writing it. We'll write the date. 2008, and 3 weeks since our last recording.
Yeah, and what is this podcast episode, what, five or
this
four?
This is five.
Five, this is five, okay.
Yes, we hit the big five.
Wow.
Yes, yes. So, I was just going to remark, Justin, I know that, you know, we usually get together you know, we talk for a few minutes before we do our recordings.
Right.
And we're just talking about, you know, facial hair, hairstyles. I see you've cut your hair, but it's getting close to Chinese New Year.
Yes, yes. I'm not terribly superstitious, but lately, I guess last couple of years, we've tried to want to do this, so I did get my hair cut in advance of Chinese New Year, so I don't get it cut after and get all this bad luck.
Yes.
But more importantly, let's talk about your hair. My hair is just my usual haircut. And you...
Oh, yeah.
And I've not seen you since the last podcast, and now you are like Wolverine or something, or...
Well, I've been told that, actually, because Elaine's a big Hugh Jackman fan, and he's Wolverine, right? So I think I'm kind of going the Hugh Jackman look. But
well,
it's going to get really bushy, though.
See, you either look like you should be someone in... Like, was it the 60s or the 70s, or is it the early 80s where that was kind of in for a little while with that facial hair? Or you're like, you should have a monocle, a top hat, and you're like in like the time in London when there were still like horse and carriages and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I know, and that's the thing. Like, I just thought, well, I don't want to look like Ted Nugent. I don't want to look hickish. So, hopefully, I don't know, a lot of people are saying that actually it kind of suits me. But Elaine's pointing out all the little kind of gray hairs kind of here and there, a few poking out, so... Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's funny, like, I think... Does gray hair come up more prominent in beards, I guess? Because I was watching an episode of the Late Night with Conan O'Brien, and he, you know, he's on... The writers' strike is still happening, and so
yes.
He does a lot of skits with, like, people in the background who are, like, you know, researchers or whatever, and he goes into the offices and stuff, and there's one researcher, and he had, like, pretty much just regular... brown hair. He looked fairly young.
Yeah.
But his beard was pretty much all gray.
I know. How does that go?
Is that very common? I mean, I've never really thought about it.
Well, I don't think it would be, because whenever we do see it, it kind of sticks out, right?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's like, Scorsese. White hair, silver white hair, but black eyebrows. Like, what is that? But it's such a look for him, right?
You know, when we were saying that, I was thinking the real measure should be is what would happen if Ted Danson let his hair grow a beard. I don't know why, but you know how he, for years, has always had that dark hair, and then every so often he's like, in real life, you see him, he's like all gray, and he's been gray for like 10 years since Cheers was still on, right, kind of thing. And I always wondered what he would look like with a beard, if it would be dark or gray, and that would be the measuring stick for everyone.
Yeah, I never really got that, because the guy on CSI Las Vegas... When he had a beard, I don't know if he still does or whatever, it was kind of like a gray beard, but he had kind of like brown hair.
Right.
And I always thought that he looked kind of weird. Well, I think he does anyway, but... That sounds awful, but...
Well, it is funny, because now we're in, what, 3 minutes and 42 seconds in our podcast, and we have committed to ourselves before that we were going to air, and now we're letting everyone else in the world know that we were trying to very much aim for 30 minutes... And
I feel confident
too that we can do it, although we've now distracted ourselves talking about facial hair for about 5 minutes. But
a lot of interesting anecdotes though along the line. So
it's true, we had a little Ted Danson reference, which is very important to get in every so often.
I was freaked out by him because after Cheers he hosted some, like, I don't know, Discovery Channel type of show, like about galaxies or something, or underwater creatures, I don't know.
Oh,
he had this crazy white, like, it was like dis, you know, like, you know, neo-disco times, like late 90s or something, and so he's like this white, you know, white hair, and I was like looking for his muscle shirt or something. But you know how like older guys kind of do that, you know, like just to look young, and they're hanging out at the Viper Room in LA or something, and but I was like, ooh, who's that? But anyway.
We should find a YouTube thing of that and just
clip
it online.
Yeah, I don't look for that. Oh, it's gotta be there.
But before we keep going, we should mention that if you are listening, you're probably hearing a bit of noises, and there's renovations going on upstairs, I guess. So it's not that we are podcasting and renovating your office at the same time.
That's
right. We are actually, I guess, prisoners of the surroundings in which we live in, in which we podcast. So.
Well, that brings up something very interesting I just read yesterday, Justin. I'm glad you mentioned that, because...
Well, I'm glad I mentioned it, too. Well, until you tell me what you're going to bring up, then I'll determine whether I'm glad or not.
I was reading in the West Ender, which I always read, because I like the rant and raves and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah?
Actually, it might have been The Straight. One or the other. Sam Sullivan, our beloved mayor...
Yes.
Last year he asked the Premier, Gordon Campbell, to write this amendment in some law that makes the Vancouver Fire Department hydrants tone down how loud their sirens are after hours. Because apparently Sam is really upset in his Yale Town apartment because he hears sirens on all hours of the night.
Really?
And it passed. So Gordon Campbell's like, yeah, sure, no problem. It's some act, right? And they amended it where after this hour that or something, they can't have sirens. But the Vancouver Fire Department's like, no way. I don't care what's passing. We're going to have sirens go on whenever we need,
but
you know?
Isn't the whole point is that you're supposed to hear them so you can get out of the way and stuff? Like, I mean, come on, people.
I know. He's like, traffic needs to know we're there.
Yeah.
And we're still going to do it. And I was like, right on. Don't listen to the mayor or the premier when they're being silly like that.
Oh, Vancouver.
Taxpayer dollars, that's where it's going, people.
Oh, gosh.
So yeah, I thought you might find that interesting.
That is funny.
Yes, yes.
The weird things that happen. And actually, speaking of that, there's a by-election happening soon in my riding, Vancouver Quadra.
Okay.
And election signs are starting to come up in lawns.
Oh.
And there's the NDP candidate is having her headquarters near where I am. So I see that sort of coming up, and I don't know where the other two are going to be. But
okay.
But yeah, that's starting to happen. I'm sure we'll be... podcasting about that in the next little while, I'm sure.
Go green. I mean...
I read something in the Vancouver Courier. They were saying that the green candidate was really excited that there was a by-election. And this is the green candidate for Vancouver Quadra. And he was being interviewed. He said, you know what I really love about it is because the by-election is on St. Patrick's Day. So everyone's going to think about green anyway. So let's hope it means
that
he gets in.
No way! That's very cool.
That was very cute.
In fact, and I was looking up our riding here, I think we're Vancouver Kingsway? Or Vancouver East? One of the two. Can't remember the name. And there's actually no green guy. Candidate, man or woman.
Huh?
So I was like, maybe I should jump into politics, you know? Because I'm always talking about it and shooting my mouth off.
Yes.
But then I thought, well... I'll look into it further, because if I had to join any party, it would probably be that one. I couldn't...
Yeah.
I think NDP is increasingly irrelevant, and the other two, well, I don't know.
Do you have all your skeletons in your closets nicely hidden,
well,
or at least all in a row?
Exactly, I thought about that too. I thought, if I got into that game, what would people look for? But then... I don't think people would look for anything because they're used to looking for that stuff for those other parties.
Right.
Green parties, people think overall, I'm sure, they just want to save the planet. Like, what could we want to find on them? But you know that the conservatives and liberals are like digging for
Well,
sure.
I think, I think you're right, but I think if you ran and you were really popular and people were like talking about you.
Yeah.
Then it didn't really matter that you were green, they'd go after you, right?
Because I think they would.
They need to find those pictures of you and your mutton chops or something and just...
Exactly, exactly. But I would keep my mutton chops.
Right.
I'd be the mutton chop candidate. Whatever that means.
Oh, gosh. And one other thing we committed ourselves to talking about, since we're now almost at 10 minutes, is that we were going to talk about one topic, right?
Yeah.
And I was trying to think about what is that topic that we wanted to talk about and focus on and really delve into.
Yep.
And at the end of our last podcast, we talked about that we would bring up relationships, right? And because that was the topic number one that we talked about, marriage particularly. And I would love, and I have to say, I have a lot more thoughts about that in the last little while that I've been thinking about. But at the same time, I am tired of hearing my own voice talking about this topic.
Really?
I really am. It's like this drone. You hear your voice talking about relationships, especially when you're single. And you know, when you're in a relationship that works, whether or not it's marriage or not, you know, like...
Or
it's
sort
not,
of.
It's not top of... You know, it's just something you really have to focus on because you got it. You figured it out, right? You hear people talk about problems that they're trying to figure out, right? And being single, I mean, not that it's a problem, but is that, you know, you kind of have that thing you focus on and you talk about it over and over again. Like, I had a nice lengthy conversation with our friend Tara on Friday talking about this topic. And I actually had this whole, you know, when we were in junior high, I kept talking about continuums, and at a certain point about relationships, and they all fall into a certain continuum, and I just abandoned that years ago because I thought that was a stupid idea. And then I've actually brought it back in a certain way, but it's hard to describe on a podcast because you have no visualization, and I kind of need to visualize something.
We'll have to draw some stuff.
We'll have a JPEG online or something. So I will say that I thought we were going to talk about that, but at the same time, if you really want to talk about it, I'm more than happy to keep talking about it. But at the same time, I'm more than happy to not talk about it because I am sick of it.
Well, I think what you're saying is fine, and I think talking about not talking about it gets us talking about it, right?
But the one thing I do want to say, and I'm more than happy to share this, is I... again about marriage.
Yeah.
And I am so processing after our first conversation, and because it got such dialogue, not such dialogue, two comments.
Hey, two comments, two important comments. Yeah.
I had forgotten how traditional, how my view was on the topic and how much I thought I had come to a decision based on my own thinking about the topic, about how, you know, I believed in the institution. I thought it was a good thing. I mean, it's not, I wouldn't force it on anyone, but at the same time, I was a pro, quote unquote, marriage person.
Right.
And then I realized, but that was sort of, again, the norm, and that's where people fall into in the problems when you think about how marriage has been viewed in the normal context of it being the end game. And everyone, like, and again, being single, you talk to other single people, are more attuned to conversations about single people when you have it on TV or in movies or whatever. And they always frame, and this is where I think I understand your point now, and I totally, where people frame marriage as the end game, right?
Absolutely.
And it's like, oh, it's just as long as I can get married, as long as I can get married and be married, then it solves the world's problems.
Right.
And I'm like... And where I totally understand where how you believe it, that's an irrelevant notion. And I'm like, I get it now. It's about the quality of the connection of the relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then marriage can be a byproduct of that if you want it. But
absolutely.
But as long as so you shouldn't be focusing on the marriage, you should be focusing on the relationship that makes the basis of that, right? So
yeah.
I clearly understood that. I'm like, it's putting marriage not on a timeline or on a line of relationships or continuum or whatever you want to call it, but it's just one of the options in which you can...
Well, it's a milestone of a relationship.
Yeah.
And I think it's good that you explain that because... Or I'm happy you feel that way because for me, I always have a kind of a difficult time to actually explain. Like, I get it in my head and then just getting out in words, I can come out sloppy, and I'm just like, what am I really saying, you know? Because people look at me blind, like, I get a lot of people, a lot of guys who are like, but come on, man, you know she wants to get married. Like, in the end, she wants to get married.
Right.
Like, you can't, you know? I'm like, no. Like, we both think the same way, but, like, honest to God. But I think it's really, what does that word mean? Like, I always say to people, you know, we're married in the mind, you know? And that can sound kind of, you know, philosophical or whatever, a little too nothing tangible.
Right.
That doesn't mean ceremony. It doesn't mean
right.
Gifts. It doesn't mean you know, all the those little steps that people really look forward to when they're getting married. It doesn't mean her parents or my parents are footing a big $20,000 bill or something.
Right.
So, but it's like, okay, married. Married means, you know, word. I think the word is devotion, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's, I like that word.
But I like it. Married in the mind. It just exemplifies, it describes exactly what we're talking about. And that it's about, if you're married, like, people should be married in their minds to each other first.
Yes.
And then, it's, you know, and then if you want to, then you can go through a ceremony or whatever.
Right.
But a lot of people just get married and hoping that it will, that other piece about being married in the mind, in each other's minds, happens later. Like, marriage has to produce that, but you have to produce that first before you can, you go through a ceremony. Like,
oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
You know, and every people, a lot of people do it the reverse ways. But then, of course, I was thinking to myself that I would have a different, and then the sort of semantics of marriage and the semantics, the operational bits of marriage,
yes,
come
very
into
real.
Play
yep.
differently, I think, if you start, now we have, you know, my brother and sister-in-law have a child, and we have friends with two children, and you know, and so I started to test my thinking about this, about, well, if you have a child, I don't know the laws very clearly, but I would assume being married in the eyes of the law would facilitate certain things around children.
Yeah.
Like, so I just find, so then I think that becomes another, but then if you're going to have children as a couple, you better as hell be married in the mind before you start having kids. So then the whole marriage thing is a little irrelevant issue at that point, right? But... So I just thought it was kind of interesting about, like, when kids are involved, what does that mean? I think about Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn and their children, and what does it mean, like, if they did split up? I mean, where does the law speak about, you know, I mean, it's more clear if you're married about, and with divorce, about custody and children, there's more processes, I would assume, but I don't really know, so.
Well, it just opens up a whole entire other category of questions, as I think... Yeah, once you got it worked out in your head and you know that, you just know that what comes after that, you're ready to take on. And there's no there's no fear of commitment. There's no, all these other hang-ups.
It's just not an issue.
It's just not an issue anymore, right? So a lot of people say, well, why don't you just do it then?
Right.
You know, it's like, well, I don't know. We're going on like 13 years. Like, what would that signify? I mean, I did take one idea, which was, you know, we do have wedding bands. But that, why do we do that? I couldn't really fully answer that. That's something that, okay, it's a symbol. But we didn't go down the aisle, you know? We didn't sign any piece of paper that I really don't know whose authority we're abiding by, you know, for that. But you know, others choose to go that route, you know? We thought, hey, let's just have a couple rings. You have rings for a bunch of reasons, you know. Might as well be to signify that we're together.
You need something to loosen the bowels of a turkey when you're basting it or something.
Exactly. And amazingly, I haven't lost it yet. It barely comes off my finger, actually, I could say. But
you got fat fingers now?
No. In fact, I mean, we had it sized, so it would be... But there's actually quite a bit of movement in there. Like, it actually doesn't cling to me as much as it should. But I have really skinny fingers anyway, but... Anyway, moving along. So that's good. So, you know, we kind of got our first 10 minutes of kind of open banter, you know, kind of curious times kind of thing. And then the next 10 minutes, we get our big topic and then maybe final thoughts.
Wow. Final thoughts. You know, what is interesting about the time in which we are doing this podcast is again, totally irrelevant, but from the topic that we were just talking about, and I hate to go from one topic to a new topic, even though we said we weren't going to do it, is about how can you not talk about it, because Tuesday is Super Duper Tuesday.
Yes.
And,
big.
And actually, from this afternoon, I was, you know, out and about, and I was with my father, and I was at his place, and I turned on the television while I was sort of getting himself, get back settled in after our lunch together, and I watched the news a little bit, and they had, you know, Canadian political panel, they're talking about the U.S. elections and how they're complaining how, you know, in many ways, Canadians in general, as a sort of blanket population, are just, the choices are too dull. Like, they don't have inspired leadership. Canadian leadership is kind of bad compared to, like, in the U.S., where you've got very interesting things going on, which is why we're all very fascinated about it, because there's Obama, there's Clinton, there's McCain, And well, like those are kind of engaging ones, and then there's the other ones that are sort of also rans. But I guess Mitt Romney isn't really an also ran, but in
Romney,
terms of
that's a bad word. Anyway,
but in terms of like, you know, charismatic or
yeah.
someone who could inspire, I mean, or could be really excited about. There's you can't say that for Canadian politics. So that was an interesting commentary. Although people were saying, like the political commentators were saying, well, that's a really thing, something that leaders have to try to break out of, because
mm-hmm.
if you do actually pay attention and you listen to them, they actually can be articulate. They can say something
sure.
really interesting, and they can be really good, smart, intelligent people. Just the Canadian public is just not interested, and they don't hear 10 minutes of someone's speech. They hear like 30 seconds of someone.
Sound bites.
Right? And so it's hard to, and it's even it's hard to sort of come out of that and be articulate, unless you can really be a good stump speaker, right? Like, get on a podium, say you're something in 30 seconds, like Obama does it really well, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, but no one, I mean, all the Canadian leaders don't really have that technique. They don't have, like, even like if you think about Paul Martin, who's probably one of the smartest prime ministers we've had in a while,
yeah.
but I heard him speak a few times, I mean, on TV, I mean, you were never inspired by it. Like,
he fumbled a lot.
There's none of that,
Obama-like.
Yeah, I think a good orator, that skill has been lost in Canadian politics probably for a long, long time.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I think Brian Mulroney probably spoke fairly well in that context, right?
Oh, he's by far one of the better
And
speakers.
Everyone else was kind of like, everyone since has been pretty bad, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But then what's been really interesting in the U.S., actually, and actually, I was actually, from just hearing the soundbites and watching the coverage, you hear, McCain comes off fairly well in coverage, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, that straight, even though the people made fun of the Straight Talk Express for a while, more recently, it has been serving him well, right? About,
sure.
Especially since he's, like, was pro-Iraq war, they increased the troops, right?
Right. Yeah.
I
know you're talking, yeah.
And so they were, he was pro for that, and it's actually starting to quote-unquote work a little bit, I guess, as some of the experts are saying, in terms of the surge, thank you, that's
surge.
The word I was looking for.
There you go.
And then I was, and everyone knows sort of Obama and his skill, and Hillary is just, you know, just the fact that Obama or Hillary could be making history is enough to get someone excited about something, right?
Right.
And then I was watching, and I was sort of, you know, watching Mitt Romney, and he's not that exciting, and he's just like, they show on the Colbert Report one of those Muppets with the newscaster Muppet, like they show
nice.
Him a lot, because it looks pretty much just like him. But out, on the way out here, I was driving, which is an oddity for me to be driving.
Nice.
And my sister-in-law has a satellite radio on, and they were replaying the Republican debate from Reagan Library,
okay.
the Los Angeles one, and just a few days ago.
Yeah.
And an exchange between Romney and McCain and about timetables, about whether or not Romney actually supports putting together a timetable for withdrawal. Right?
Okay.
And they were quoting, you know, an interview he did in Good Morning America, and saying, you know, he says, oh, you know, the president and the prime minister of Iraq probably, you know, if they were smart, they really, I'm again paraphrasing, they should basically, they should actually have milestones and timetables, right?
Yeah.
And then, so John McCain was just, you know, saying, see, there you go, he's for timetable for withdrawal. And I, you know, I thought McCain was a pretty decent guy, and then just hearing this exchange, he was just mercilessly going after a quote that was totally misrepresented. Like, McCain kept saying, see, you were for withdrawal. And Romney, I mean, again, I don't agree with really either guy's politics in
sure.
some sense in terms of what
yeah.
they believe. But Romney's like, no, I just said that, you know, I didn't say timetable for withdrawal. I just said, you know, he's basically, at least from my interpretation of the quote, and I think it's probably the interpretation of most people who would probably hear the whole quote in its entirety,
sure.
would be that Romney was saying, you know, if you're smart, if I was, you know, president, I'd have a plan about what my milestones are to make sure we're measuring success, and a timetable for, like, let's say it's like success means we have to have, 200 less, you know, U.S. soldiers die in a month than the previous month, right?
Right.
And, okay, that could be a milestone, right? If
yeah.
you meet them, but how much time are you going to give yourself to get that milestone to happen,
right?
And I think it it only makes any one person who does any sort of planning in their lives or in their jobs or in their
mm-hmm.
companies or whatever would say, well, yeah, we want that milestone, but if we can, I hope we can meet that milestone in the next 6 months.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just set a milestone and no timetable for when you
That's
can
right.
achieve it.
That's right.
That doesn't make any sense. And McCain was just sort of saying, like, you know, and the timetable can mean
off.
Different things for different people. And
yeah.
that, in that context, timetable does not mean, does not mean timetable withdrawal.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, whether or not I don't know, I have different politics about whether or not, you know, U.S. should withdraw or not, but in this context, when both of them are saying that they don't want to withdraw, but to just take something and interpret it so differently and be, he just kept
hammering it
back, and you're like, shut up, McCain, you're
yeah.
sounding like a like an old coot who doesn't understand the English language, and
yeah.
I was like, just
yeah.
shut up,
yeah.
you know, it was
I know.
Weird.
And I almost had, out of all the Republicans, the only one I could usually favor was McCain, because he would be kind of bipartisan at times. Like, he worked with Ted Kennedy on the updated, what are those, non-torture laws and all that kind of
right,
stuff.
Right, yes.
So, I mean, I've seen him try to see just the bigger picture, rather,
right.
And work with whoever's necessary to get it done for the better of the world or the American people or whatever. Yet he's such a war horse, and I think there's just that alone would make a lot of people not vote for him, you know?
Right.
So any predictions for Tuesday, the Democratic or Republican side?
It's
pretty much
so
two person
races for each. I really don't know, because they are such mammoth states up for grabs, right?
Yeah.
There's New York, California, New Jersey,
yeah, it's
and
huge.
A whole bunch of southern states. Like,
yeah.
It's not like it's all the blue states and
that's
not
right.
the red states. It's a little bit of everything.
It's
right?
not a certain corner of the country, yeah.
And, like, I really don't know. I think what's going to happen, I think McCain has this momentum
yeah.
That it's just going to be too much. I think it will be clear after Super Duper Tuesday that McCain will be the nominee, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, it's gonna be a more competitive race for the Republicans, I think. Even regardless of whatever I've just said, I think it's
yeah.
gonna be more competitive if McCain is there.
Yeah.
I think Mitt Romney will just be like a Bob Dole or a, you know, like it's just not gonna work. I don't see him catching fire with people.
No.
But I think it's gonna be I would be surprised in the Democratic side if someone, either Obama or Clinton, just was a decisive
just
winner.
Trailblazed.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, I would be surprised if that.
Yeah, happened. I really would too. I think they both got a really good chance. I think, man, I mean, that's a tough one. I think, yeah, it might come out pretty even. Well, that's cool. I mean, I think depending on how big the news is from that day, by the time we get to our next podcast, maybe we'll have a little kind of
yeah.
a.
And what I would
wrap up of that, yeah,
absolutely. And I think in the meantime, I would really recommend people, and we said it before in our
yeah.
podcast, and there's a link on it on our website, is to the Bill Moyers podcast, because I just listened to the one that just was on this past week, Friday, and they had the same woman again. I forget her name, but they have her come on almost every week now. She wasn't on last week, but she was on this.
Was she on with that other guy before, Kathleen or something?
Yeah, I think it's, well, she usually comes in by herself. He interviews her by herself and talking about the primaries, what does it mean, and she's not a political animal or a political analyst, she's more of a political historian, or talks more about the process than about
yeah.
the people, right?
Right.
And I mean, you've definitely, I think we've talked about, you, I know
yeah,
you've
I remember
heard, you heard her before, but she was on again this past week talking about it, and she's going to come on again this coming Friday.
Oh, cool.
Again, to talk about Super Tuesday, and I guarantee you it's going to be an interesting listen, because
right
I listen
on.
To every time she's spoke, and I've been like, I mean, I don't agree with everything, but I'm like, that's a really good point. And she really harps on the idea about how the early primaries with very little population,
that's right,
ruins
mm-hmm.
Not ruins, but it diminishes the democratic process, because people drop out, like Thompson or Giuliani, although arguments can be made about whether they would have been good anyways,
yeah.
but more like the Kuciniches and the Ron Pauls and the
mm-hmm.
the other tiny voices,
mm-hmm.
they get eaten up before the mass population has a chance to actually give a voice, right? I
yeah.
mean, if to 20 something states, I mean, maybe Fred Thompson would have picked up
I
a few. Know.
Who
knows? Who and
knows?
Not, but
well, all the anti-abortionists out there, there's a lot of them. Well, I think that's good. I think for those of you who don't know, The Bill Moyers is PBS. So if you just look that up on iTunes.
Yes. And it's on our site. We have a link.
Yes, absolutely. And so there's many ways of getting there. So there's many ways of getting our podcasts. So
yes.
Just two.
The dotmatrix.com and the iTunes store search for us, The Dot Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
We're there, both ones. Are we going to make it in the 30? I think we are.
I think we are, Justin. And we will talk more about Super Duper Tuesday.
Yes.
And we'll come back to marriage as well. I think I have a little more to say about that as
cool.
well.
Cool. And we'll do a little mutton chop recap next time and see if it still happens.
Right. Okay,
cool.
That sounds great. Okay, well, thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Sean.
Okay, have a great day and great week, you guys.
Yeah, see you guys.
Bye.